$3.99.
Beyond the sunset, oh blissful morning, when with our Savior heaven is begun, earth's tolling ended, oh glorious dawning, beyond the sunset, when day is beyond the sunset, no clouds will gather, no storms will threaten, no fears annoy. Oh, day of gladness, oh, day of ending, beyond the sunset, eternal joy. Beyond the sunset, a hand will guide me to God the Father, whom I adore. His glorious presence, His words of welcome, will be my home shore. Beyond the sunset, oh glad reunion with our dear loved ones who've gone before. In that fair homeland we'll know no parting. Beyond the sunset, for
$203.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is
309. Lord, how sweet 'tis to see the dear ones follow thee in a service of love here below. There's no tongue can portray the sweet peace of this way and the blessing you do here bestow. Such a peace, we are told, is more precious than gold, for their treasures are laid up above. With the saints they live high, and on Christ they rely, as they now dear children, we wish you to share in this bliss. As you go, bear the yoke and the cross. The yoke is soft, burden of life, follow him with delight. For with Jesus, no sir, this is lost. Quiet peace, comes the day that you start in this way. Rest is bound all the journey along. Rest in peace and at home. Why not then to him come? Praise the Lord in your deeds and your song. Then the sorrows and tears that shall come later years all are made easy for you to bear. So then why will you roam from this dear peaceful home? And no joy with the saints here to share. Without love, free.
292 if you have time.
292.
We're traveling on to that blessed home where saints immortal dwell. We'll join in song with loved ones there and make our voices swell. Oh, who will come and go with us and help us sing that song, the song of Moses and the Lamb, the song of God's dear Son? There'll be no sun, no stars nor moon in that sweet home on high, for God Himself and His dear Son will be the
It is indeed a glorious day, a beautiful day. It is a day that the Lord has provided that we can come and sing the songs of heaven, how it is pictured in our mind, how we can envision it as best we can. We don't understand how heaven's going to be, and we can't imagine. All we can do is draw pictures in our mind of streets paved with gold and gates of pearl, and seeing this wonderful river that's flowing out of the throne of God, and seeing God Almighty on His throne of grace, and seeing all the blessings that come from Him, and seeing the tree of life that's planted by the river. We've got these mental visions of what heaven will be, and as David, I believe it says, that his best description is that however it will be, we'll be satisfied. And that's got to be the most comforting thought of heaven that can be. As my boy used to ask me when he was growing up, if he'd be in four-wheelers in heaven. He didn't want to go for one in four-wheelers there. Mm-hmm. And all I could tell him was, I don't know how heaven's going to be. It'll be that we'll all be satisfied. We'll want for nothing, and we'll see no pain, and we'll see no tears and of sorrow, and we'll see no people walking around limping and having diseases and having to take treatments. We'll see none of that. It'll all be joy and peace, and that's what we can rest in the Lord in. I thank you all for coming this day. It's a like I say, it's a wonderful day. It's because God has provided this day for us. Even though it's raining outside, it's still a beautiful day. It's so good to see Sister Mosley back here. That we missed her last month, and thankful that she's able to be here. And we certainly want to remember her again in our prayers as she continues with her treatments. And we trust that the great physician will be around about you with his hand to heal you. Good to see Sister Mildred here. Hope she's recovering well. We want to remember Brother Philip that lost a dear uncle to death. And we have a dear sister-in-law, my wife's sister, that is scheduled for surgery next week for cancer. We certainly want you to remember her as she goes through her ordeals. Remember all the sick and afflicted around us. Does anyone else have anybody that is on their mind that we need to remember this morning?
Elder Johnny Duggan.
Elder Johnny Duggan, thank you.
He
had a real bad burn that still boiling beets on him, I think.
Yeah.
Preacher, I'd like for everybody to pray for Bruce Pearson, who mechanic was in about 4 weeks, got cancer, and they should appreciate all the prayers.
Elder J.D. Belkin had heart catheterization Friday, I think it was, Friday or Saturday. And thankfully, that problem is solved. He's got some other problems, so remember him in your prayers. He's had some right many bad times here lately. But we are thankful that we serve a God that doesn't depend upon us to remember each condition, doesn't depend upon us to know what we need. He knows what we need before we do, and He is gracious to apply His grace to us. I want to read one verse of Scripture that may be of some consolation to those that have problems, those that have worries, whether it's health or whatever. We sometimes allow those to get us down. In the 14th chapter of the book of John, Jesus tells the disciples, it's just a few nights before he's to be crucified. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." you cannot turn on the television, you can't turn on any kind of news or read newspapers and not see that this world is full of violence, full of battles that's going on, it's full of war. You see the war in Iraq, you see war in Afghanistan, you see the Jews and Arabs fighting each other, and you see battles and terrorism and murders going on in Africa, and you see Christians fighting Muslims and Muslims fighting Jews and killing each other, and you don't even have to go out of the United States to see that there's more crime and more sickness of crime, terrible crime that's being committed every day, and it seems like the world is in a downward spiral, and you think, how much worse can it get? And we sometimes despair because we would like to have just one day of peace or one day of rest where we didn't have to worry about all these things. And sometimes we misconstrue what peace is. And we say, well, if I could just have more money, I would be at peace. If I could just have more honor, more fame, or more recognition, I could be at peace. Or if I could just have better health, I'd be at peace. Or whatever we construe our peace to be, whatever we don't have, that we think if we just had this, it would cause us to be able to live happier ever after. And it's an example, a little story or an example of what true peace is, about a king that had much control over the world. He was the king over many kingdoms, and he had all kinds of wealth. But yet he was troubled. He always worried about somebody trying to overthrow him, or somebody trying to destroy something he had, or to that something would happen to him. And he was always looking for peace, even though he had all the material things in the world. And he commissioned and offered a reward that if anybody could paint a picture of what peace was, then he would give them this reward. And everybody gathered around and brought in paintings of what they believed peace was. And they had the peaceful scenes of a quiet town on Saturday evening after everything had closed down, and no cars on the street, a little rural town, and everything was quiet. Or you could see the little farmhouse that had the white picket fence around it, and the white clouds on a blue sky, and a gentle breeze blowing. Everything was easy. And none of these thought come close to his vision of peace. And even got down to the little fish pond where the little boy with the straw hat had his fishing rod into the pond, and his dog laying there beside him. Everything was peaceful, and all the butterflies floating around. And nobody could decide, surely, that this one would be the most peaceful thing he could find. But then he opened one of the last paintings. And that painting showed a rough and jagged cliff that was right on the ocean, and the ocean was in great turmoil, great waves crashing against it. And to look at the painting, you could almost see and hear the terrible sea crashing against this cliff. And in the background, the storm clouds were raging, and great bolts of lightning were flashing down. And the wind was blowing hard. And all the water was rushing over this cliff, and it was a great tumultuous scene. And then you look back in the corner of the picture, and there in a little cave in a rock, under a little overhang, was a bird's nest. And there sat a little mama bird sitting on her nest, had her wings over her legs, and she had her head bowed down, her eyes closed. He said, this is peace. Peace is not identified as being free from all the worries and no having no worries around you and having nothing to get in your way. But peace is being in the midst of the storm and not being worried about it. It's being in the midst of all the trials and tribulations that the earth can show and throw against you. and knowing that a God is with you, and you have no reason to be disturbed. You have no reason to worry, because he said he would never leave you. He would never leave from around you, and he would carry you through the storms of life. This is what the peace inside is. And that's why we come today, is declaring that we ask not that God would destroy all the illnesses and all the rocks and all the low places on our lives. We ask that he continue to be with us, and he would go through us and give us strength, as the song said, that we ask for a strength of today, and we ask for a hope of tomorrow. I bow before my God that he is able to provide this, and we can lay down knowing that we have problems and trials, but we also have a great God that loved us. Thank you for coming this day. Thank you for your attendance. I ask that we come with a united mind together, that we may lift up our voices in prayer and song, that we may lift up our minds together and think upon heavenly things, that we may trust in our God that has loved us with an everlasting love. We've got a song to sing, brother.
221.
Number 221.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation, by Spirit and the Word. From him he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with a vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet on earth at union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them, the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with thee.
Let us pray. O holy God, to thou that sit upon the throne of grace, dear God, we pray before thee this day, desiring that thou will take an interest in our prayers. O Lord, we ask that thou overlook our shortcomings, our downfallings. O God, give ear to us, O Lord, and hear our prayers. Look to the shed blood of thy Son by thy mercy, and hear us, O Lord, as we beg, coming not before thee with our righteousness, but through the mercy and grace from thee. Gracious God, as we come desiring to worship thee, we ask, O Lord, that thou would lead us and guide us through this service. Lead us, O Lord, that we may stand upon the watch walls of Zion,
and declare aloud that our God is alive and alive forevermore. Oh, gracious God, we ask that thou be around about each and every one that's gathered here. Oh, Lord, give them a hearing ear, an understanding heart. Oh, Lord, we ask that you give a softened heart unto them that they may understand and look upon thy word as a comfort and joy. Oh, God, we ask you to be around about all the churches this day that gather in thy name. Bless us, oh, Lord, that we may lift up thy name once again in this land and cause it to be the guiding force. We ask you to be around about the leaders of this land and all the leaders all over this country, oh, Lord, that they might be looking to thee for guidance and strength, oh, Lord. Be around about us, oh, Lord, and look past our errors and our sins. Gracious God, we ask, oh, Lord, that through thy mercy that thou look down upon all those that are sick and afflicted, all those names that's been mentioned. We ask, oh, Lord, that you remember that our sicknesses and our illnesses and our needs as we need them, oh, Lord. Be around about them and lead us through the treatments that we must go through. Heal us, oh, Lord, to a reasonable portion of strength and cause us, oh, Lord, to look upon thee as thy cause. Dear God, we ask you to be around about our servicemen that's on foreign soils. We ask you to be around about all the services and all the men and women that defend this country and cause them, O Lord, to return home in a safe and a reasonable manner. Dear God, we ask you to be around about us as we go through this meeting. Bless us, O Lord, once again as we seek to proclaim the one foundation of the church, and it's by thy establishment that we are able to gather here this day and worship and praise thy name. Gracious God, we thank you for all the blessings thou hast bestowed upon us to this day and to this day forward. We ask you, O Lord, to go with us. Bless us all. In Christ's name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
I forgot my cane this morning, so I'm hobbling around. Lord, look over me a little bit. We sing these songs about how great heaven's going to be, and it's certainly something to look forward to, and it's a pleasant thought, and it's something good to go to sleep by at night. If you're having trouble getting to sleep, just start thinking about how great heaven's going to be and what it'll be like. Just see what you can come up with. But I'm going to tell you, it's a lot of times that coming through this world and dealing with what comes on to us in this world, it's kind of hard to think about stuff like that. It's kind of hard to put Jesus first. It'd be awful nice if he could walk beside of us and pick us up every time we fall, but he's there spiritually, but he's not there physically, and sometimes it's kind of hard to look that far forward to heaven. And we have to exist in this world every day. And that's one of the purposes or the reasons for church is a place that we can gather. Some people gather more than once a week or once a month or whatever. But it's a place where you can go and kind of see the love that's manifested here. And it causes me to have more strength. And if you go to a good meeting on Sunday, that'll carry you through Monday and maybe Tuesday, and then it starts getting, you get overcome with all the other stuff. And it's kind of hard to go all week, but you need to come at least once a week and get renewed in strength. And the church is one place to do that. You can do it on the telephone with a fellow brother or sister, or you can meet somebody downtown and get strengthened and get enlivened by what is said. If they talk about, you should have been with me last week, or talk about a good meeting. Me and Brother Keith were talking just a minute ago about what good meetings we were both in different places last week. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be in church, but church is certainly a place you can do that. So we need to understand what church is, or what its purpose is, or how we're supposed to behave in church to be able to get the full benefit of the church. And it's sad to say that a lot of churches have gotten away from the true purpose, and they've become places of entertainment. And people go because they're having a ball game this evening, or they're having a beach trip next week, or they're having a presentation of ballet class, or whatever. And that's not far-fetched either. A fellow told me about the church. church service that had all the young children that doing a ballet during church service. But church has become to mean a lot of things other than what it was designed or intended for. And when it turns away from what it's intended to be, it becomes closer to the world, and pretty soon you won't be able to tell the difference between the church and the world. And that's what we have to, we're charged to maintain the difference between the church and the world, and so that it is a place of comfort and a place of peace, a place you can come in and worship God in. I want to read to you in the book of Titus. Titus is a little short book. It doesn't have an awful lot of information in it, and a lot of times we only use it whenever we're ordaining officers of the church. It's got some qualifications in there of how you're supposed to do it. But the book of Titus was written by the Apostle Paul in between his two imprisonments. He was put in prison, and then he and Paul and Titus met in Macedonia and went to Crete and established a church. And it was in the process of being established. It was established, and they were meeting, but Apostle Paul had was called away and had to leave. And it was quite a bit of opposition in the town of Crete, or the city of Crete, from the Jews, because of they were criticizing this new doctrine that was coming in. And Titus writes to the Apostle Paul and asks for his advice. And the letter to Titus is a reply to Titus's request for advice. And he writes back to him, and he tells several things. And like I say, most of the time, Titus is not very long. And about the only thing we get out of Titus, or most of the time, the only thing we use it for, is the ordination of officers. But so we skip over a lot. But Apostle Paul says to continue on in your organization of the church. It was meeting, but it still didn't have all the fine touches finished on it. And he says, keep on in your efforts to establish this church. Ordain officers where they need to be ordained. And he says, one of the main things that he emphasizes, he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. He said, you have a lot of opposition in the town, and be careful what you say, because somebody's watching, and we have that today. You have to be very careful about what you say, because somebody will take it and run with it. And he goes on down. He tells Titus, he says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, and gravity sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil things to say of you. Be careful what you say, so that those that are against you will be ashamed. It's much like Pontius Pilate, whenever he was trying to find something wrong with Christ, and he said, I find no fault in him. I've tried and tried, and I can't find anything wrong with him. In fact, I wash my hands of him. And this is what the Apostle Paul is telling Titus. Be careful how you act. This is not just while you're in church, but your enemy is not going to be in church with you. Be careful how you act outside of church, so nobody can cast aspersions about what you might say in doctrine showing uncorruptness. Make sure you preach the sound, pure, uncorrupted doctrine of Christ. If you've got an error or a flaw, somebody will find it. And it's very easy. You see people that's preaching a false, corrupt doctrine, and it's just full of holes. It won't work. That, matter of fact, they'll go as far as to even write another Bible to match their doctrine, because it will not fit in here. They'll leave out parts, or they'll capitalize on one part and say, well, we don't fool that chapter over there. Because somebody, he said, if you have a hole in your doctrine, somebody will find it. And he says you need to be grave and you need to be sincere. I said all that to say this. After he gives the instructions for Titus as the minister to be careful what you say and how you act, then he goes on to the third chapter, and he tells what the duties or the obligations or the worship of the church people are to be. And this is what I want to get to. He says to Titus, as a minister, it is your duty to remind the people. Now, notice he didn't say it's your duty to come up with something new every week. Come up with some kind of entertainment. It's not your duty to change things around to make people happy. He said, it is your duty, put them in mind, to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to speak every good word. What he's saying is, and you've seen people to do this, is put them in mind to be subject to principalities. He says, it is a lot of times the enemies have distorted the teachings, and especially in their day, and said that here's a new religion. They're saying that they're following Christ and nobody else. That means they're trying to rebel against the government. And Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, Titus, he says, you instruct them that even though they're followers of Christ, that does not give you the right to disobey the laws of the land. And we're fortunate to live in a land that based their laws upon the teachings of Christ, so it's no problem for us. But it'd be the equivalent of me going before the judge and saying, my religion says that I can go 75 in a 35 zone. He says, you can't do that. You can't disobey the laws of the land because your religion says so. And one too many years ago is a group of people, religious idiots down in Florida, saying that our religion says we smoke dope in our church. And that's why he wrote stuff like this, is that people were saying, you watch out, they're rebelling against the government under the name of religion. And we still have that problem sometimes. But he says, he goes on to tell the people to speak evil of no man. Don't be take pleasure in telling stories about people. Don't be the church gossip. Don't enjoy finding something wrong with somebody and tell them that this is a problem. He says, don't do that. To be no brawlers. And we think of when somebody brawls, they're out in a fist fight. But to be a brawler, you can fight not only with your fist or a stick, but you can also fight with your mouth. You can argue with somebody. And he says, if you're going to be a good church member, you'll be able to understand and enjoy the benefits and the joys of your salvation through the church. He says, behave and don't be a brawler. He says, but be gentle, showing all meekness unto men. And that's not to take everything wrong. If Brother Key says, oh, you sure sang bad this morning, I'm not supposed to take that as being a critical remark. I'm supposed to take it as constructive criticism. He didn't mean to hurt me. He meant to help me and tell me that I couldn't sing. But I don't fly off the handle and get mad. And that's what he's saying, is if you're in the church under the love of God, then you are to be gentle and meek. Now, he brings up, he says, before you go off judging anybody else, before you say...